Anne is going to bring us our reading from Matthew's Gospel.
Reading comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw in your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Everyone loves a bit of judgmentalism, don't they? Come on, admit it.
You know you do.
Someone passes you in the street and you think, what are they wearing? Don't they know what they look like?
You overhear a conversation on the bus or at work where people are talking about something so pointless, so vapid, endlessly discussing the most trivial of things, and you sit there judging them for wasting their lives away.
You see someone acting in a way that's different to your way of living. They drive in a way that you consider to be irresponsible. They partake of some vice that you consider repellent. They might even choose to support a different sporting team to you. We all love a bit of judging, especially if it's done in secret. Pride and prejudice, judging and judgment, and you don't have to be Mr. Darcy to do it. Judgment is another virus that infects human nature.
Judging others is where you take a position above someone else. You put yourself in a position of superiority in relation to others, whether it's ethically, morally, spiritually, culturally, racially, sexually, aesthetically, financially, or intellectually. You place yourself above.
The trouble is that where you're placing yourself in order to judge others is not your place to hold. Because in judging others, you're seeking to supplant God from his throne. As Psalm 75, verse 7 says, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. God may not spend his time judging our taste in music or in clothes, but any attitude that leads us to usurping the place of God to judge others ethically, morally, or spiritually is one that puts us in a place that is not ours to reside in. Jesus, in this section of teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, addresses our tendency to judge others. So let's have a look at what Jesus is saying here. Jesus' words here, as they are all through the Sermon on the Mount, are addressed to his disciples. When he says, do not judge or you too will be judged, he's not talking to the scribes or the Pharisees. He's speaking to those who are already committed to following him, us included. And this is what Jesus says you shouldn't be doing, judging others. But what kind of judgment is he referring to here? Taste in music, political persuasion, choosing what you're going to have for breakfast, whether something is good or bad? Well, the word that Jesus uses for judge in our reading had quite a broad meaning in its original language. But here Jesus, in the context, is using it how we criticise others' failings. There is the sense that Jesus is saying we shouldn't be taking the role of judgment over someone else's life, akin to the role of judgment that God holds over everyone's life.
God's people are not called to sit on the throne of judgment over others. It's easy for us when we read the Bible and seek to apply the commands to find they become our commands. They become what we expect of others. Yet, the Bible is not offered from that perspective, from our perspective. The Bible doesn't offer its commands for ethical and righteous living from a human perspective. They're always offered from God's perspective. This is God's perspective on us, God's judgment on us, not our perspective and judgment on others. Our posture before the commands of the Bible should be one of humility in the light of them, not taking them as a scales of judgment to weigh the lives of others by. We are the recipients, as are all humans, of God's judgment. But the place of judgment is God's alone. And it's with this perspective, it seems to me, that we can find the best way to understand this passage. We are not to judge others because that's God's role alone. And the judgments that we are not to make are the kind that God will make in regard to the moral and spiritual aspects of life. We need to judge between what is wrong, right and wrong in our own lives. We can make judgments in regard to the taste of others in respect to our own personal preference, but where these judgments turn into whether somebody else is good or bad in the sight of God, we can't do that because Jesus is saying we can't be God. Jesus then unpacks this further. He uses an image from the commodities market to develop his point. In the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured of you. In the UK, we have the Office for Product Safety and Standards. And one of their roles is to ensure that standardised measures and weights are used of the things that we buy. That a litre of petrol really is 1 litre. That 1 kilogram of tomatoes really is 1 kilogram. That 1 pint of beer really is 1 pint. Jesus is saying that there is one standard that folks will be measured against. And it's not my life, it's not your life. However perfect you may feel you are, it's only God who holds that measure, that standard. And to illustrate, Jesus tells them a parable from the world of the carpenter's shop, a world that he would have been very familiar with. An image that is both comical and deadly serious. Jesus gives us the image of a human who has a big old plank in their eye, yet is sitting in the judgment over someone else who has but a speck or a splinter of wood in their eye. It is a comic image, much like the camel going through the eye of a needle. But its gross and exaggerated humour makes real the absurdity of judging the sins of another whilst being burdened by our own sins. Jesus isn't using the plank and the splinter to talk about the scale of sin, just the blindness we have to our own failings. Then to conclude, Jesus said in order for his disciples to avoid being called hypocrites, they need to clean up their own acts, remove the plank from their eyes, deal with their own sins, not stand in judgment over others, but come before God in confession and know God's grace and forgiveness. Matthew chapter 7 verse 6 is a separate but related piece of teaching. Here Jesus is addressing another issue of judgment. But rather than someone judging hypocritically, he talks about how we can sometimes be naive in our judgments. Throwing sacred things to dogs and pearls to pigs is an illustration that is alien to our 21st century culture. However, in the first century Jewish world, dogs were not the cozied and pampered pets of today. They were usually feral, running in the streets, scavenging food. And the dog was the term that first century Jews used of Gentiles, showing their contempt. And pigs were considered to be unclean animals, and Jews then and now refused to eat anything from a pig. Jesus is talking about throwing the sacred to the Gentiles and pearls to the unclean. Despised animals of no value that will take something precious and tear it apart. So what's he saying? It's been much debated, but it seems he was telling his disciples not to spend their energy and mission on the Gentiles at this stage. The gospel was to be first for the Jews. It was only after his resurrection that he commissions his disciples to go to the rest of the world. The disciples need to share their most precious thing, the good news of God's kingdom, the pearl of great price, only with those who can understand it. And without Jesus' death and resurrection, that was only the Jews at this stage. So Jesus is calling his disciples to share the good news responsibly. Don't be naive in your judgment and just throw it around. But share it with those who are going to treasure it. Use good judgment. There is obviously something we can learn from this. But the teaching's main point is in the past. The gospel is now for everyone, not just for Jews, but we still need to be careful in how we share it. So what can we learn about our tendency to be judgmental in our lives from Jesus' words in the first 5 verses of our reading? We may not like to admit that we're judgmental, but we more than likely are at times. And more than that, to be judging of others. We set up our lives as being the standard or the norm. We choose which ethical boundaries are right and proper. And if anyone deviates from those standards or steps outside those boundaries, they are subject to our scorn and judgment. Usually unspoken, because we're not brave enough to say anything most of the time. Possibly we give a scornful look if we have a moment of courage, but always we have a judgment or thought or five. And there's also the tendency for Christians to be even harder on fellow Christians. The judgment seat we can occupy to condemn our brothers and sisters in Christ has a support structure in place to accommodate that rather large plank that we have in our eyes. We become Pharisees to our sisters and brothers in Christ, rather than a caring family. We seek to censor our fellow Christians for even the most insignificant of things, even if this censorship only occurs in our hearts and minds. And in doing so, we're putting ourselves onto the throne of God, acting the part of God. And we must know that is not the right place for us to occupy. All of us, at times, will have experienced unwelcome judgment, the unwelcome judgment of others in our lives. Someone looking down on their nose at us, commenting on your behaviour, tutting at your words or appearance. It's not a nice thing to experience. It makes us feel less than, inferior, rejected. And we can carry those feelings of shame. And they can build up as resentment and bitterness in our hearts and minds, perhaps for years. We can stop doing things that might have been good for us in our lives because of the judgment of others, even though carrying on would have helped us flourish in life. The judging of others has consequences that we very rarely consider when we look disapprovingly at someone, when we share that ill-considered word, when we launch into a diatribe. We may be seeking to judge others with good intentions. We may feel that we want the best for them, but more often than not, we want to make ourselves feel better. True care and concern for others would be seen in taking another approach, choosing to love rather than judge, choosing to encourage rather than to condemn. This is, after all, how God sees us. When on that great day in the future we come before the judgment seat of Jesus, he will not look on us as we deserve. And we too often see this as a forbidding time when we come before the judgment seat of God. We see this as a time of forbidding and terrible outcome because we always tend to view judgment as being negative. However, for those who have chosen to follow Christ, we need to remember that judgment does not always have to be negative. A judge in a court case does not always judge someone to be guilty. They can also judge someone to be innocent. And that's what Jesus will do for his disciples. Even though we continue in our sin, Jesus will judge us to be innocent and invite us to dwell with him in the new creation. Jesus is choosing to love us. That is his judgment on our lives. And that can be our judgment on the lives of those we encounter. We can choose to love them, not seek to condemn, but show love and show grace. We, as a church family, are not that outwardly judgmental, and that's brilliant. But we should not feel smug, because our outward actions are not the whole story. Jesus is just concerned with the judgments that simmer in our hearts and minds, as he is about the ones that are verbalized through our words and enacted in our ways of living. We can judge others as powerfully through our silence, through our overlooking of others, through our entrenched views of prejudice and bias. Who are those around us in our community who we judge by not acknowledging them? By simply not accepting who they are? By failing to see the issues and barriers that they face in their lives? Who do we judge by pretending they don't exist? Who do we judge by seeing as different and failing to recognize the image of God in every human life? There is still much within us as individuals and as God's church that needs the transforming power of God to change in order for Jesus' words, "Do not judge or you too will be judged," to become the new kingdom reality that we inhabit. And so we need to let God through his Spirit work upon us. Let God transform these simmering judgments that we hold against others in and out of the church. Where folks do not hold up to the standards we create, ethically, attitudinally, spiritually. They are not like us, so therefore they are lacking. We all need to let God work on this tendency towards judgment in our lives. We need to be seeking for God to remove that plank from our eyes and not be worried about the speck in the eyes of others. We need to choose the way of love and grace, the way of mercy and encouragement. Choose to see the differences in others not as threats but as diversity. Choose not to see what we consider moral and spiritual lapses in others as their failures, but instead a spur to deeper discipleship in ourselves. Choose humility, recognizing how easily we fall short of the glory of God, and instead see the wonder and image of God in another. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. This is a word of warning from Jesus that we can all choose to act upon as his disciples today in order to more fully inhabit his coming kingdom. Make it so. Amen.